Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Vanderpump Rules to Vegas and everywhere in between, it's time to party with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
What's up, everyone? Back getting into some shenanigans with someone who I can't believe it's taken 3.5 years to get on my podcast. Like, I've wanted you on my podcast for so long. I've had your husband on my podcast. And now, finally, here she is, Miss Katie Maloney.
Hello.
Yay, welcome.
I didn't know that Tom did this.
Yeah, I did it at your house, remember?
Janet and I came over.
It with Tom and Tom.
That's right, that was a long time ago.
It was, pre-pandemic.
Well, you asked him before you asked me.
No, I think I asked both of you, and maybe you were too busy, and so then Tom was like, well, I'll do it with him.
I don't remember
Well,
being asked.
Here you are now. I would rather have you one-on-one anyways. So if you guys are watching Patreon, you see me in this awesome hoodie, which is...
Oh my God, I just realized you...
You didn't even notice?
Well, I mean, I just, like, I walked in off, you know, the streets.
I'm wearing Katie's merch.
Oh, I love.
Yes, where's that on the right side?
Yeah.
You're going to love me. It's this, like, light... purple. What color would you call it?
It's like a heathered purple.
Yeah. I was like, is this like periwinkle or is that more kind of like a bluish gray?
The official color is heathered purple.
Well, I love it. It's got a yellow heart on the sleeve. It says, you're going to love me. So where did you come up with that name for your podcast?
So basically, I wanted to, because kind of the theme of my podcast is putting a spin on people that you have maybe had a certain opinion of.
Okay,
you
I
know?
Like that. Yeah.
Maybe you have prejudgments or you've always had an opinion about someone and, you know, kind of saying, well, now you're going to love me. You're going to love them. You're going to, you know, so it's just I want people to go in with an opinion and have a completely different opinion by the end of each episode.
Okay, I like that. You know? Now it makes more sense why you asked me the questions you did. So we did a podcast swap this week. So I just did Katie's podcast. And I mean, it's not like I ever like prepare for a podcast or ask for questions ahead of time. I just go in blindly and then you just answer whatever. Like, I'm an open book. I'll answer anything. But when you're like, when was the last time you judged someone? I was like, I mean, I try not to judge people. And then I'm like, I mean, obviously we do all judge people. But then I was like, was it about like, it wasn't like ma or was it this or was that? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. Put me on the spot here. I've still been trying to think about that. And I'm like, I mean, I guess we do all judge people.
Mm-hmm. It is a very primitive thing that we do. It is to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
We want to kind of size people up. We want to scope them out. We want to know kind of who they are and how we can, you know, protect ourselves, and it's like self-preservation in a way.
Yeah.
It does kind of go into his danger zone when we get judgy, but it is the human condition.
Yeah. And I think it's different when, you know, like you're saying it to their face or you're saying it like online, like behind a keyboard. Like there's different types of judging, you know, like you can just like judge and talk with your girlfriends behind someone's back. And like, I think that's normal. And pretty much everyone does that. And if you don't, you're a liar. It's another thing to go on Instagram and comment some shit judging someone else, or like especially with the mom judging, the mom shaming, that like I just can't. Like I was saying on Katie's podcast, I have so many friends now who have kids. So whenever I'm talking about my friends with kids, I don't just mean Stassi, Lala, or Brittany. I want to make that very clear. I have a lot of friends who have kids. Right. And there are certain things, like some of my friends who have, you know, toddlers, kids who are 7, 8 years old, and I see the way they're raising their daughter or son, and I'm like, you're making the choice that's best for you. I know I don't want to do that, but I'm like, I'm not judging, but I feel like it can come off as judging because I'm like, well, I don't agree with that parenting style, but that just doesn't work for me.
That's judging.
I think, so I was like trying to think, and I'm like, I mean, I guess that's judging, but I'm not like out there commenting like, oh my God, you didn't do this with your kid. Like, I'm sure people judge me for, you know, piercing her ears at 3 months. But I'm like, true. I made the decision that I felt was best for us. And yeah, I could have waited till one day when she wants to ask for it. But I was just like, I had mine pierced when I was an infant, and I love having my ears pierced. So I made that decision, and whatever. I think every mom makes the decision that's best for themselves and what they believe, and it's not wrong. That's the difference. You can judge them, but their decision isn't wrong. They're making what they feel is right for them.
Right. I mean, well, that's the thing. We're going to all walk around being like, oh, look at that. I would never do that. Oh, look at her. I would never. Look at that. Yeah. I would, like, look at that car. Look at that. Stupid. That's stupid. And you have to remember that people are passing those same kind of judgments on you. So,
oh my God, totally.
And it's all tit for tat. Yeah. And it is, you know, it's what we do. So it's just, it's like a sport.
Yeah. And here we are, premiere week, season 9. The judging is going to just be back full force this week.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So exciting. So I have posted for questions. And one thing that a lot of people did ask is, what was your favorite and least favorite season you filmed? And I was curious about this too.
Oh gosh. Favorite and least favorite.
Or most memorable.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I mean,
there's been so many now.
I know.
So many options.
I think, I mean, the first like couple seasons are definitely most memorable. I can remember everything about them. I mean, especially, you know, like season 2 trip, that one always sticks out to me because
Cabo.
It was like, yeah, because it was the first time we went on like, you know, a real like legit, we went to Vegas first, you know,
I
that
wasn't
was,
invited.
Oh yeah. But I mean, like we went to Cabo.
I've never been invited on a Vegas trip.
Oh my God. But like that trip, it was so chaotic and so much happened. It was so dramatic.
Oh my God,
but it was just also just so much fun too. We did like, I don't know, I just had such a blast on that. And just we were just in these uncharted waters and filming this show, and it was just having a blast and not knowing what was going to happen, but just throwing ourselves into this crazy world.
Totally.
So I mean, those are definitely so memorable. I mean, I know people might be shocked, but you know, obviously the summer of my wedding, even though it was dramatic and there was like, you know, me and Tom, it was still, you know, like we were getting married that season, and I think it was because I had so much at stake with my wedding and I wanted things to be perfect and I wanted people to get along. I didn't want there to be, you know, riff with friends. I didn't want there to be wars.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of put myself in between that all.
Yeah.
And that caused, it kind of probably made things worse. But I wouldn't say it was my least favorite, but it was just so unfortunate, like watching everything back, being like, oh, yeah, that's probably not how I should have handled it. But it all turned out wonderful in the end.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all, you know, like learning lesson. And I feel like it is very cathartic watching bad parts of yourself back because
oh yeah,
it makes you a better person.
I mean, you have no choice
but to
like sit with that and be like, I can't repeat that.
Right.
That would be the worst thing in the world. I mean, it is therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Constantly.
For sure.
To sit and watch yourself. It's sobering at times, especially to watch yourself be highly intoxicated, to not repeat those things. You have to make lessons. I feel like I don't have like regrets of anything because I turn those into lessons and I try not to repeat and I try to learn something from all of that and try to be, you know, do better next time.
Agreed. So I want to go back to childhood, Katie. I want to know, what was it like growing up in Utah, having two brothers? And, did you play sports? Were you a good student? Tell me about little Katie.
Little Katie. I wasn't really super into sports, but I wanted to try everything. Like, I was like, oh, my God, my poor mom. It was constant just like, oh, here's another check for this. And, here, you know, like another hobby, another camp, another this. I mean, I was always really into, like, the performance of things, the performing arts. I always wanted to take dance. I was very into dance and wanted to go to theater camps and, like, that kind of thing. I did try soccer. I think I was mostly in it for, like, the snacks.
Oh, my God. They got Little League, the snack bar was so good.
Everyone got, like, orange slices and Rice Krispie treats. Yeah, it was, like, I want in on that. And also I wanted to, like, wear the jersey. I was terrified of the ball. Yeah. Like, don't kick it towards me. You know, like, I wasn't like athletic in that sense, you know. I like to do pretty things. Like, yeah. I would say, like, I like figure skating and dance and those kind
of
things.
Wait, you ice skated as a kid?
Yeah. I would go to the ice rink. I never, like, learned how to ski or anything like that when I was younger. So I would, you know, in the winter months, I would going out at the ice rink.
That was one thing. I rollerbladed as a kid, but I never tried ice skating until I was an adult.
I didn't, like, excel great at it, but, like, I liked it. It was, that was, like, my thing. And then, I mean, having brothers was interesting, especially also being a middle child because, you know, we fought like crazy, but we also got along because we were really close in age. Me and Joy were very, very, very close. Like, Rocky and I, like, fought like crazy. We still, like, will get into it sometimes. Yeah. But, like, I love him so dearly. But we would, like, all play and, like, hang out together. But they were, like, doing, like, the boy things.
Right.
Like, playing, like, basketball. And, like, I would, like, try to play. But they'd be like, ugh. You know, and so I'd be like, oh, and I would just play like by Barbies by myself. And I'd be like, do you guys want to play? They're like, okay, we're playing Ninja Turtles though. And I'm like, okay, so how do we do that? And they're like, we're to put the Ninja Turtles in the Barbie car and huck it down the stairs. And I was like, all right, I guess this is how we play Barbies together. And I'd be like, oh, and then we'd want to play like live action Ninja Turtles. And I'd be like, okay, who can I be? They're like, you're going to be April.
I was going to say, which Ninja Turtle would you be?
Oh, no, I had to be April. And I'd be like, I was like, so what do I do? They're like, you pretend to report the news and we'll be fighting behind you. And I'm like, this is some bullshit. But I was like, all right. Like, I did it. But, you know, we had fun. And, like, it was such a good time, especially in Utah, because we would just be outside all the time in the summer and trekking camps and, you know, just playing outside and taking advantage of that. And just, I mean, it was a great, great place to grow up, especially in Park City because it was so small and safe.
Yeah, I love it there just the few times I've been.
Yeah, we would just like take off all day, be home by dark, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Were you a good student? Did you get in trouble in school? Did you ever have detention?
No, one time I got Saturday school, but it was awesome because, like, I remember we had this principal, and he was there, like, overseeing it, and we, like, for 2 seconds had to clean something, but then he let us play, like, hide and go seek and gave us candy, and I told my mom about that. She goes, that's not fair. You were supposed to be punished, and I was like, this is a punishment. I still had to, like, I couldn't do whatever I wanted on a Saturday, even though, like, you know, we showed up.
Right.
We did something, and then, you know, but no, I was like pretty good. The thing is, I didn't do extremely well. I had to, like, in high school hold a certain GPA for like cheerleading and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had like test anxiety, and because that would always like make up a big portion of your grades, I struggled. I would study. I'd do study groups and all that. I would know everything I needed to know. And then when it came to take the test, I would just blink. And yeah, so.
Did you ever cheat in school?
No, I was too scared.
Good for you.
I was too scared.
I did algebra.
I was a good kid. You know, I was too scared to get in trouble. I was too, especially because like my mom was always friends. Like in middle school, she was friends with Sherry, who was at the front desk. So I could, if I got into any kind of trouble, she would find out almost immediately. So I was like, I gotta behave.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get into no trouble and I can't hang out the wrong kids because my mom knew who all the wrong kids were, you know? And it's just like, I had to like mind my P's and Q's and you know, be on top of my shit. But you know.
I feel like I was the same way. I was like a really good student. I was always afraid of getting in trouble. I remember one time in fourth grade, I had to pull my card and I was like crying.
What does that mean?
Like everyone had like a green card and if you got like in trouble for something, you had to like pull the card and it was yellow. And then if it was red, you'd get like in big trouble. I don't even remember what I had to pull it for, but I remember that being like a traumatic moment for me.
I remember the only thing I would get in trouble for was like tardies because I would like dilly-dally in between classes, like chatting with my friends. But like that was
it. Yeah. So you started working at a really young age. You see a photo of you in the first episode working at a restaurant when you were what, 13, 14?
Yeah, 13.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so your mom owned a Mexican restaurant in Park City.
Yeah. And Baja Cantina.
Yes. Oh my God. I loved that we got to go there when we were in Park City for your birthday.
Yeah.
So fun. So were you like the little hostess? Did you have to bus? What did you do starting out in the restaurant?
Okay, when I first started there, I wasn't technically
allowed to work.
Oh, yeah. So when I first started, I was expediting in the kitchen. So I was like filling up salsa cups and like the chip baskets and like doing like things in the kitchen. And then when I was old enough, I started as a hostess and I did a little bit of busing. It was like, that's a lot of like work.
Right.
And, like the guys had to be like, they had to like lift heavy trays. And I was like this like little scrawny person. And I liked hosting, you know. And then eventually I became a server. But, you know, my mom was just kind of like, I wanted to eventually like get a car and like have a cell phone. My mom's like, how are you gonna pay for that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my mom was always really great. Like Christmas time, we always got like everything like we wanted for like the holidays and Christmases. But, you know, if I wanted, you know, I always had to like earn money, whether it was like chores or like work, you know, understanding like work and the value of dollars. So I wanted to, you know, get a job as soon as possible. And luckily, you know, she had a restaurant. So
totally.
I would work on weekends and then eventually sometimes like after school at nighttime. I mean, I was hustling.
You're a hustler. Did your brothers work at the restaurant too?
Oh yeah, the whole fam.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
Whole family affair.
I
So do you think that first job set you up for just excelling at Sir?
Totally.
Yeah.
My mom wanted me to be an assistant manager and manage, like, and I was just like, no, I didn't like the idea of like being a boss. You know, I didn't want to have that kind of like responsibility over people. Like, and she never gave me like, she didn't give me preferential treatment, you know?
Yeah.
It was never like, oh, because you're the boss's daughter. No.
Right.
And I didn't get like special shifts or, you know, sections. It was just, you know, it was very much kind of like seniority there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, I think it gave me the kind of experience.
Totally. I mean, I still to this day say out of all the restaurants I've worked at that Sir was like the best ran restaurant I worked in.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you miss it sometimes? Like, obviously you don't like miss like, oh my God, I need to get 5 shifts this week or I can't pay my rent or like picking up or swapping or those things. But like, do you miss it sometimes?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I do too.
We had so much fun.
We had so much fun.
Working a shift, like Sir was not like any other place I worked at. We had such a fun time working there. It was, you know, especially when I first started working there, when it was a lot smaller too, you know, when we'd have a smaller staff on at night and we would all like to hang out. And it was just, it was like, not like a, I don't want to say sorority, that's not the word, but it just felt like the babysitter's club or something.
Right?
Like we were just like all like friends and we'd all hang out. And it was just, I'd be excited to work. I was excited to go to work. And,
same.
You know, it was just, I always had a really fun time there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I miss that sometimes. It never felt like, I mean, I worked at places where it was just so daunting and I dreaded every second of it.
Right. How did you start working at Sir? I don't remember how everyone got their jobs there.
So I had gone into dinner there actually with Jenna Willis. Randomly. I'd never been to Sir. And she was like, oh, we're going to go to dinner. And it happened to be at Sir. And I was like, what is this place?
Right.
It's so pretty. It's so chic. Oh my God. I loved how the servers like wore like dresses and they looked so beautiful. They weren't wearing like ugly button up things with like aprons. Like they looked you know, they just looked like chic. And I was like, this is the kind of place I want to work. And I was working two jobs. I was working at a cafe, like breakfast style, like that kind of thing. And I was working at Barney's Beanery in Burbank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working two jobs just to like make some ends meet was like not the business. So Guillermo was there.
Yeah.
And he was being, you know, being like Guillermo, like going around, asking how everyone's doing, doing his thing. And he had given me his business card. And so I emailed him and I was like, hey, like, I don't know if you're hiring, but I would love to work here. I think he just had me come in. And so I brought my resume in, met with him. And he's like, well, we're not hiring at the moment. And I was like, that's fine. I literally have like two jobs. But if it's a month from now, 2 months from now, just mm-hmm. give me a call. Like I'll come yeah. running. And I think it was like 2 months to the day. I was working a shift at Barney's Beanery and I got a message from Natalie. And she's like, hello, Katie. I have your resume. We'd love for you to come in and, you know, start training. And I was like, boom. I like
yeah.
put in my 2 weeks like that night.
And then shortly after you started at Sir, you had your accident, right?
So I had completed all my training and I was supposed to start my first like actual shift on the floor
mm-hmm.
the following night after my accident.
Wow.
So I was like in the ICU and my mom was there. And I was like, you have to call Sir.
Uh-huh.
You have to call them and let
like,
them
thinking
know.
Thinking about I your restaurant job when you're
yeah,
in the hospital.
I'm on a morphine
yeah,
drip.
Right.
And I'm like, call Sir because, you know, I wanted that job.
Yeah,
and
you
I
just
had
started.
Been waiting and it was supposed to, yeah. But they were so amazing and they're just like, it's okay. Like, your job will be waiting here for you. Just, you know, get well and heal. And I was like, oh, thank you.
No, they're always so awesome,
I
so
know.
Supportive.
Yeah.
So when you had your accident, I remember a few seasons ago, we had talked about some of the long-term effects that that had.
I mean, the emotional and those effects, the mental, yeah, that just... You
yeah.
don't, those kind of creep in just over time. You can't really prepare for that. You don't
right.
know to what extent or how it's going to affect you in what ways. So, no, I mean, and I was so just focused on healing physically
mm-hmm.
that it didn't occur to me. And I was just kind of like at home, just chilling. It wasn't until I got back into like regular life and into the swing of things and then just kind of like, yeah, it wasn't
yeah.
until like, couple years, you know, 2 years. It was, yeah, until I just started to not, I wasn't feeling myself.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get back to feeling myself.
Yeah.
Something was just always off,
yeah.
basically, yeah.
How supportive was Schwartz in this time when you were realizing, you know, that you just weren't feeling yourself?
He didn't know me before.
Right, because, yeah, you guys met in 2010.
Yeah, he met me about... Seven months after.
Yeah.
So it was hard for him to understand, you know, the difference,
right, the difference
or what I went through or how, you know. So me just kind of describing to him like how I felt and what, you know, it's hard
mm-hmm.
to describe to someone. It's intangible, you know. It's
yeah.
It's difficult. So he researched it and like was reading things on how, you know, brain injuries can have a lasting long-term effect on
mm-hmm.
someone's personality. And so it's hard. But
yeah,
I was happy that he was trying to discover it for himself a little bit. I was trying to discover it myself.
Right.
I mean, it's just I had no idea what was going on with me.
Yeah.
And I still don't, you know. It's still like... It comes in waves,
mm-hmm.
but he is, you know, he's supportive. Sometimes he's like, what, just because you slipped on a banana peel? I'm like, you're hilarious.
So you guys met 2010. I remember it was like around the same time that Shay and I started dating.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That just, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It kind of is. I mean,
yeah.
11 years, over a decade, that's.
That's so amazing that, you know, but like,
yeah.
especially, I mean, you're the only standing relationship left from the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be in the public eye, to be in this life, and to still have such a strong relationship is amazing. I look up to you guys. I think that you both individually are amazing people. And as a couple, like, I definitely think that you guys with, I don't want to say as much as you fought, but just with the level of things that have happened, like, on the show and your fights helped me for this season more than ever to be okay with fighting on camera, to be okay with showing that not every relationship is perfect. And every other season, I've always like, you know, we don't even need to say his name. But it was just like, my relationship's perfect. My life is perfect. Everything's perfect. And it never was. And I'm like, I took a step back when I decided, you know, like, we are going to do this show together and Brock's going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, but everything isn't perfect with us. And am I okay showing that? And I was like, why wouldn't I be? You know, Tom and Ariana fight, Katie mm-hmm. and Schwartz fight, but that's what happens. That's what happens in life, and that's real. And so
yeah.
I just love that, not that you guys ever fight, but that you've always been so open about it yeah. and honest, because it really did help me, I think, become more myself and more comfortable with being completely raw and vulnerable on camera. So thank you for that. Yeah.
I mean, we're not like proud.
No, but you are just, you're so open.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, we can't hide it. Because if you try to, it's not realistic. And anyone who's saying like, we don't fight, they're lying. And totally. I mean, like, I understand that like Tom and I's fights can be a little, what's the word?
I don't want to say the wrong word. So I'll just
it could be a little traumatizing for people to witness. And people are like, they're just miserable.
Well, you guys are both really good with your words. Yeah, and so you can just really hit below the belt.
And that is our fighting style. And it's not healthy. And we know that. And we've really gotten away from that. And we mm-hmm. understand that like we can't get to that point, because like we kind of like black out and we're just like, we get to this point where like, who's going to win? Mm-hmm. The winning is like, who can be meaner? We're not listening to what the person's saying because we know we don't mean it.
Yeah.
So if we're just like saying like, you're so unattractive, this is why I don't want to have sex with you, because we know that's fucked up to say. So we're like, that's fucked up. I'm going to say it because I'm going to win. this is going to be the silent killer. It's fucked. And people are like, oh, I can't believe. Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's just your fighting style.
It's fucked up. That's why people are like, I never want to get in a fight with me. I'm like, yeah, don't. Because I don't want to black out. I don't want to black out and say some fucked up shit. Because Tom and I, we can take it from each other because we know we don't mean it. I don't know that someone else will know that I don't necessarily always mean the things that I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've tried to get a handle on the rage and not get to the point where I black out. Because if I black out, I don't know what the fuck is about to come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And it could be
it's
ruthless.
It's scary.
It's not nothing to laugh about. But Tom and I, you know, we just try to be like, I don't care that if people think we're miserable or unhappy, we're very happy.
I know.
And, you know, like again, if you think after all this time that we wouldn't, you know, still be together, and we still are. So like, we're good.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
Yeah. What was your first impression of him when you guys met?
Well, I mean, because Kristen tried to get us together for so long.
Right.
And I was like, what's his deal? She's like, you know, like actor, model. And I was like, ooh, no, thank you. Like, especially because he's just moved here. Like a year later, I'm like, he needs to get, you know, worn out a little bit. You know, he just moved here. He's a little like probably, you know, still trying to do the LA thing. But then I met him and I was like, oh my God, he's actually really cute. Mm-hmm. But he had a girl with him. I was like, who is this chick she's with? She goes, I don't know. I've never seen her. I don't know. But he's not like, I know he's not dating anyone because I'm around him all the time.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, thanks, Kristen. You know, but we immediately hit it off. We got along and I could tell that there was like a little like chemistry there. But mm-hmm. once we like kind of started hanging out, we definitely were attracted to each other, obviously. Yeah. But we were very much like, I don't want a relationship. We were kind of playing hard to get a little bit, but it was undeniable.
Well, and I mean, at that time, I can't believe still to this day that you and I, like, we used to hang out in the same circle, go to the same clubs on the same nights that we never met.
I know. Well, I'm sure
we had to have been at the same table on the same night and just not realized
I'm sure we crossed paths a bunch of times, but.
But at that time, I mean, yeah, it was just like, you know, super single, 2010, like, oh my God, so long ago.
Yeah.
When was the first tattoo you got and what was it?
Okay, so it was still in high school, but I was 18. And it's, so my friend Chris, he was like a really good like artist. And this is doing him such a disservice because he probably could have drawn something way cooler.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, a decent artist. So I was like, will you draw like a cool like moon and stars? Because I want to go to get a tattoo. He's like, yeah, for sure. So he drew a couple different options. And then I picked one and I got it like on my side of my hip.
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's like kind of blurred together. And
I have so many blurred ones from back then.
Yeah, it's not as cute as it was, but it's a fun like memory because I was, you know, just 18.
Right.
And I think, you know, I told my mom I'm going to go get a tattoo and I don't think she believed me and didn't think I'd go through with it. Yeah. But it's fun because it's like my, like one of my best friends from high school.
Yeah.
Did it. Actually, you know him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How many tattoos do you have? Do you know?
No.
See, I don't either.
I mean, a decent amount.
Right? I feel like I've been tattooed over 20 times.
Oh, not that many like, times. Like maybe like 10 or 10 times.
I have four in my hand. I don't know. I like lost count. Which is your favorite and which is your least favorite? Are there any you regret and would consider removing?
I don't regret any of them because each of them has like a memory attached to it. You know, that's a thing. The only time people like ever like think that way maybe is if they aren't tattoo people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe eventually down the line. If they just get real too ugly to hang on to. But I feel like the one that's like from when I was 18 is like not in a visible place.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter that it's like doesn't look good anymore. My favorite ones, I don't know. I mean, I love my mandala a lot. This one is my grandma's handwriting.
Yeah, I love that.
And it says, love you to the moon, because she always signs my cards that way. So I got them, you know, they like were able to whatever photocopy her handwriting from a card.
Yeah.
And then I got that tattoo. That one's really sentimental. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's fun. Like, because it's just, they're like little memories. Like,
I agree.
It's kind of imprinted on your body.
Yeah, for sure. Where is your favorite place you've traveled?
Well, Iceland was really, really special. I mean, this is just a magical place. There's just no place on earth like it. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's so breathtaking. Like, you just, like, as you're traveling around the country, the little island, it's just everywhere you look is just breathtaking. I can't wait to go back there. And then, I mean, I can't get enough Paris. That's so basic, I know. But, like, it's the coolest city. I love Paris.
Totally.
And Tokyo was the coolest place. I didn't get enough time there. I'd want to go back.
Yeah, that's top of my bucket list. Want to go there.
You gotta
go. I was so jealous of y'all's trip.
But we need it. Yeah, I need it. Now that we understand it a little bit more and like how it works, I need to go back and spend more time there.
There was a question you asked me, and I know we talked about this on your podcast, but I want to ask it on mine too. If you could, because I thought it was such a good question, if you could tell your future or past self something, which one would it be? But I want you to tell each one something.
Okay. Well, my future self, I guess, would have to tell me something.
Well, yeah, but like, okay, like advice.
Yeah, I mean, because for me, I feel like I said, this past couple years have been such like a state of limbo, of uncertainty. So I would like to just have like a little nugget of just like, this is what to expect. Maybe hopefully something positive because it's been a bit grim as of late. So I would like a little piece of like positivity of just like, hey, guess what? This is something good to look forward to. And then my past self, I would just say, you know what? Like, I mean, it depends on what age.
Any age. If you could go back to a time in your life and give yourself like a piece of advice or tell yourself something.
You know, probably when I was like a teenager, because like those ages, you know, like the things that seem important are so not, you know, I would just say focus on what you want out of life, focus on what's important to you, focus on who you are, get to know yourself, what, you know, what you want out of life. I know that seems like kind of big questions for a young person. But, you know, I don't think you're too young to start asking yourself those questions. And it's going to change over time. But I think the world always feels like it's about to end. You know, but, like, kids can be so cruel when you're young. But, like, they're just kids. Like, don't let those dumbasses get you down, you
for
know?
Sure.
Don't let your fights with your friends feel like they're going to, you know, crush you and kill you. Like, this shit don't matter. One day this shit, like, literally won't matter. And you're probably not going to see, like, 95% of these people ever again. So fuck them.
Yep. Fuck them. Taylor Abass wants you to give one word to describe each VPR baby.
Like cute.
Right.
Okay.
What would you say, Hartford?
Hartford is, she's got some serious, the one word is hard, but she's got some side eyes. She got judgy eyes.
A little sass.
Sassy.
Yeah.
Sassy is a good word for Hartford. I love her.
What about Cruz?
Cruz is flirty.
Yes. That's a good one.
He is.
Ocean.
Ocean is elfin.
Yeah.
She's like a little elfin, like just so. Ew.
And Summer.
And Summer is smiley.
She is. She's really smiley.
She loves to smile.
She's a very happy baby. So is like Cruz, like that kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He always has a smile on
his
face.
But he's so expressive.
Yeah, but he is. He's a little flirt. Angel underscore Noggle wants to know if you still run Pucker and Pout.
Pucker and Pout's like not done. Mm-hmm. It's not shut down. It's not, we have not closed that door. I had to just refocus. You know, I feel like when something isn't fulfilling you, or if you feel not bored with it, but I felt like I was hitting a wall with it.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to switch gears. I didn't quite know where to go with it, what direction. I was kind of feeling like a burnout with it.
Yeah.
And rather than reach a point where I wanted just to like blow the thing up, I wanted to just say, let's put this on hold. Mm-hmm. Let's not close the door on it. So I don't know. I mean, never say never, but like, right. I just needed to focus on some other things and see what else, was out there for me. I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to explore other things.
Yeah.
I'm still exploring other things.
I love that. Simply David C wants to know, what is something you've learned from your past that you try to practice now?
Counting to 10, breathing, letting the moments pass through me, not letting every little thing get to me.
Right.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you want people to know about you, like a misrepresentation you think? Like, what do you want to say?
That I care. The things that I have to say to people isn't because I'm judging them,
mm-hmm.
or because I know better than them, or because I think I'm better than them, or because I have an attitude or anything like that. I say these things because I care and I want the best for people.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because I think I could help them, or, you know, it comes from a place of like, let me help you not make this mistake. And I need to let people do things on their own, but like, it's always coming from a good place.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's always kind of gets a little bit lost in the sauce.
Yeah. No, I really felt that from you this summer, which you guys will see. Stay tuned. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., new season.
Woohoo!
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah,
finally.
We
did it. We did each other's in the same week. Yeah. Knocked them out. So if you guys haven't already, be sure to listen to Katie Maloney's podcast, You're Gonna Love Me with Dear Media. And thank you so much for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.
Sheena Shay. Shay FK.
Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shay. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.